some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hello, everybody. It is time for Rated G Radio. We're starting a brand new week this week, and we've got a hot show tonight because we got a hot tamale. Mr. John Cooperman is our VIP special super guest star. He's going to be joining us in just a couple of moments. Who knows the trouble we're going to get into tonight when we visit with John. But before we bring him on, as always, I'm going to give you a rundown of where we're going for the week so I can get you all whipped up into a frenzy. You know, so you tune in. Tomorrow night, we've got Jennifer Thompson with Monkey See Media out of San Diego. Jennifer's company builds brands. They help authors with books, you know, like book covers, book design. They do headshots and photography, and they do a lot of interesting things. I first heard Jennifer talk at the SCWA, Southern California Writers Association. They put on a monthly meeting, and I met Jennifer back in January. She's on the show tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to talk about what her company does and why it's so important if you are out there trying to build a brand for yourself. And I find it interesting that she's going to be on the show because, you know, there are a lot of people that are out there that fancy themselves as artists of some form or another, and they oftentimes are like the worst marketers of who they are. So she's going to fix all of that for you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Wednesday, Rebecca Fisk, she's our intuitive psychic. She'll be back at 7 p.m. for our Hour of Power with Rebecca. Here's a little note. The show phone lines technically open up 15 minutes before the show goes live. So if you want to call and ask Rebecca a question, if you've heard the show with her, you know she's good. She's better than good. She's great. She's named one of America's top 50 psychics for 2015. And you don't get that certification without actually knowing your stuff. So Rebecca's on Wednesday night. If you want to call in, I'm giving you the secret ahead of time to get bypass all the psychic surfers that listen to all the blog talk shows. And you're like, oh, a psychic there. She's going to tell me a different answer about where my cat is at in a van down by the river. So Rebecca's going to be on Wednesday night, 6:45. The phone line's open. Show's at 7. Call in. Thursday, we are not doing a live show, but we're going to have a best of. Why aren't we doing a live show on Thursday, you ask? I am going to the Academia Music Awards at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, and I'm part of the celebration. I was invited to go because I won 2 awards in January for my album Blonde Jesus, shameless plug, and also my video won pop music video for the month of January called Guess What? It's Christmas Time. Now, it's ironic that I won the award in January for my Christmas video, but that's how it works. I'm not receiving a new award. I'm there for their 2015 Artist of the Year awards that they're giving out. So while I am a winner, I'm not winning something new on Thursday, but I get to go hang out and be part of the red carpet. I get all the VIP treatment. I'm taking my friends, Frankie with Miles High Productions, and also my BFF, Joseph Eid, who's been on the show as a music guest for his album Human. He's got some new music that's coming out. It's going to blow you away. But Thursday is the music awards. And my choice was to either have Rob do the show solo, which I'm totally fine doing because he's a brilliant host on his own. But he's never had to actually run the board or do any of the technology stuff. And if something kind of goes haywire, I don't want him to feel like he's been, you know, snipered out and we're shooting him. So we're just kind of giving you a best of on Thursday. So we're going to do that. Friday, we have Ed Roman. Ed is coming onto the show to talk about his new album. We've also got a new single that he has out that's not even on the album. It's like super, super new, called Lay One Down. And it's about, long and short of it, he's donating the proceeds to veterans groups. So Ed Roman's our guest on the Friday night dance party. And then Saturday morning, we return for all fresh, updated episode of Super Gay Radio live at 8 a.m. Our VIP special guest this week, well, we have two. We have Frank Carselli, who is, of course, known as Miss Viola in the drag community in upstate New York. I think he's in New York. He's in New York. And then we're having author Chris Ando, who's not only been a guest host on this show with me, but he's also been a guest just talking about his book, Delusions of Grandeur. So Chris is going to be our guest on Saturday morning as well. So tune into Super Gay Radio live at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, before I bring John on, I'm going to be kind of throwing this out all week. Some suggestions have been made, and I don't know what it would be like for my guests, if they're even interested, or how it impacts anything. But I've been approached to actually turn the show from an evening show into a morning show and to do that. And I'm kind of intrigued about doing this for a variety of reasons, all selfish, of course, but that's, you know, that's just the way it is. Would you be more interested in listening to the show as a morning show, Mr. Paul Emery of upstate New York, or would you like to have it be an evening show? You know, and for me, I like doing it in the evening with you live. This is great. But doing a morning show would be interesting to me because once the show's done, then the rest of my day is free to go and do whatever. And that's not to say that I don't love doing the show. So I wouldn't do it 6 days a week with you if I didn't love it. But if I did a morning show and it was done at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, then I could go, you know, to auditions. I could be in, you know, projects. I can do other things without going, oh, well, I need to be back on the 405 by 2:15. Otherwise I can't make my show at 7. I know that sounds crazy, but I really do kind of budget my time around what time I need to leave wherever so I can make sure I'm back to do the show with you live at 7 o'clock most nights. And it's my pleasure and honor. I love doing it. Otherwise I wouldn't have done it for 4 years, but the change in dynamics is something that I'm looking at. And if you hate it or love it, let me know either way, because at the end of the day, I love doing this with you. So without further ado, as we say every month around this time, it's my pleasure to welcome back Mr. John Cooperman. John, how the heck are you?
How are you, Garrett? You know, it's funny. You called me a hot tamale. I've never been called that before.
You've never been called a hot tamale?
No. No, so I appreciate that. I am a hot tamale tonight.
You are. You're the hottest tamale of them all.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think a morning show idea, that's very intriguing, like you said. I think that could be something. I think it's worth a shot for maybe a week or so and see what happens, see how you feel. Now, mostly, are you a morning person? I'm not a morning person.
Well, I'm very much a morning person when it comes time to getting up and getting things done. So, you know, technically, I really am up and running around by 6:30 every day. If many days it's earlier than that, but 6:30, 7 o'clock, by 7 o'clock, I'm running on however many. What's full pistons? Is it like 12 pistons?
I'm sure. Yes.
Okay. Well, for the example's sake, it's 12 pistons. By 7 o'clock, I'm on at least 9 pistons, maybe even 10. And so by 8 o'clock, I'm definitely on all 12. And I run really – I mean, I'm on full steam ahead all day long until probably like 10 or 11 at night, and then I crash hard. So it doesn't really make a difference to me other than, you know, boy, that the person that presented this to me today said, you know, you really should think about turning this, you know, turning your night show into a morning show, because then you'd be free to go and do all these other things that you're, you know, already doing, but you won't have this, you know, huge time constraint for traffic to say, well, I can't come and do it, or, and, you know, you do that. You
what
know how
time
it goes.
Is your show on? No, no. Now, what time is your show on overseas? I know there's a big following out there.
Well, the show is live at midnight on Chat and Spin Radio, and that's in the UK. Hello to everybody on Chat and Spin Radio. Now, the cool thing is, when they told me they were putting me on the midnight shift for Chat and Spin Radio, I thought, oh, that's the kiss of death. That's the worst thing ever. This is like the highest rated show on their network every single week. And so, I mean, by like leaps and bounds. So not that I'm going to, you know, toot my own horn, because it really is dependent upon the guests and the people that we have on the show. So super lucky. This is number one show. So the fact that it's, you know, doing so well across the pond, as they say, is always cool. So it's, you know, it would be fine, I think, regardless, because, you know, of how the show is, you know, tape delayed to get over there.
Right. And speaking of number one, mm-hmm. your song or the album has been number one for 15 weeks or something. That's insane.
So, okay, we are going to talk about you, John, so I promise.
No, that's fine. I want to hear about this. This is so, really, really neat, really cool.
This is one of the coolest things ever. And here I am. I'm honestly, this sounds like such a line, but I have goosebumps talking about this right now. So several months ago, probably back in, I don't know, September, it's probably September, I was approached to submit my music to some online stations around the country. One of them is called Hottest New Artist. So if you go to hottestnewartist.com or hnanetwork.com, you'll see. So they play a huge variety of music, everything from R&B to classic 80s to country to gospel. And then they play new music as well. And so they have different days of the week and different time blocks where they play each thing. So if you know that you like, you know, this type of music, you're always going to tune in these days. And so I submitted Witch Sisters Halloween to them back in September, and they started to play it. And the craziest thing ever, and because I just thought it was a fun song. I love Witch Sisters Halloween. Mm-hmm. I will always love it, and I will tell everybody, I think this is like the new standard for Halloween songs. It really needs to be its own movie. So they played it. It got this crazy, crazy response, and it debuted at number one on their top 10 charts. And I went, well, this was kind of fun. I wonder what would happen if I submitted the rest of, you know, my other stuff. So I submitted the Christmas song. I submitted the Gay Wedding song, and I submitted Sweat and Testify. And so the next thing I know, they put a big push on. And they said, okay, we're going to put Sweat and Testify on and Gay Wedding on next, but we're going to save the Christmas song until December. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. I said, great. And so the next thing I know, Sweat and Testify debuts at number one. Gay Wedding debuts at number two, shoving Witch Sisters Halloween down to number three. So on Hottest New Artist, because it's driven by social media thumbs up. It's driven by an actual thumbs up on their site when the song is played. And it's also driven by on-demand listen. So it's not like, you know, you vote once and then, you know, okay, I hope that works. And, you know, good luck. It's through thousands and thousands and thousands of listens, people, you know, vote on what they like. So come, you know, December, I had the top three songs. And then when they added in the Christmas song didn't do as well. It debuted at number four and is, I think that it stayed there and went down to number five in January. And then it is now the number four song again. So they just released their new top 10 rankings again. And I'm crossing my fingers, you know, arms, legs, toes, and eyes going, I hope the songs still do okay. You know, cause I don't really have any control over it. You just kind of, you know, put the vibes out, please go vote, please go listen. And they sent me a note and they said, you know, there's going to be some shakeups in the top 10, you know, and they're kind of preparing me that, you know, my reign has ended. So number one song, Gay Wedding, for the 16th week in a row. Song number two, Sweat and Testify, for the 16th week in a row, because it dropped from number one to, you know, the number two song. The guess what, or the Witch Sisters Halloween rebounds from number five to number three. And guess what? It's Christmas time, stays at number four. So we have a Halloween song and a Christmas song in their top 10 in April 2016, which makes no sense. So I have no idea who's listening or voting or thumbing up these songs. But I would say, you know, number one, thank you very, very much, because I love it, love it, love it. Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, John, it does kind of stroke the ego a little bit. But we could save the Halloween song and the Christmas song for like another 6 months, 8 months, and then bring it back out of the closet or something like that. But if people are voting on these songs, so I have the top four songs on the top 10 chart for Hottest New Artists. That's number one. On a separate chart called Number One Music, submitted my music to them months ago as well. Gay Wedding had already gone to number one. I don't know how their ranking works, because I was number one 1 week and then it went to like 162 the next. And then it's stayed anywhere from like number 12 to number four. So it's in the top 10 of pop music. Great. And again, it doesn't make any sense to me how that all works, but they, you know, release the rankings weekly and they give me an update. Sweat and Testify, my song with Deborah Wilson from Mad TV, that has been the number one hip hop song. So this white boy has the number one hip hop song in America right now for 2 weeks in a row on number one music. And it continues to just go crazy. So, and I am so grateful for it, because this is not even like the remix of the song. So I think this is new from when we talked last, John, but when the official single dropped last month for Sweat and Testify, it did a kind of snuck it onto SoundCloud just ahead of time to see what it would do. And the first week,
right.
Sweat and Testify the remix did over 300,000 streams. When we released it to when we released it to Spotify about 3 weeks later, in the first week on Spotify, it did over 50,000 listens or streams or however that works on Spotify. So it's just gone kind of, it's taken a life of its own and people are getting on board, and I'm kind of gobsmacked a little bit, but I'm grateful. Love it, love it, love it. So that's amazing.
That's so cool. That's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make a song together.
I'd totally do it. What do you want to do?
You know, I've written some songs in my lifetime.
Okay.
I'm in the process of writing one now.
What's it called?
Well, right now it's called Saw, like I saw you, I saw... Saw, not like I'm sawing you in half. That would just be really bad. But it's called Saw right now. I'm not completely done with the song, but it's something, you know. Maybe we can do that, or maybe an old song of mine.
That'd be fun. I'm
would
game.
You, would
so,
you like?
What kind of music
would
is
you
it?
Like?
Is it like country or jazz or Armenian?
Well, I've written this one song once, and I could sing a few bars of it if you'd like.
Yes.
It's called Selfishly in Love with You.
Okay.
And I go, I'm on the spot. It goes, one of the lyrics that I wrote goes, my heart is heavy, my soul is blue, because I'm selfishly in love with you. There you go. That's a little bit of it.
That's nice.
Thank you. I think it's nice, too. Now, I can throw a little George Michael in there and go, my heart is heavy, my soul is blue, whoa, yeah. You know, that's a little George. You go, whoa, yeah. You know, he always does that at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. I think we have a hit.
But yeah, I think so too. I just need to release it on Spotify like you. You have inspired me to release my song and record it. I need to record my songs.
Well, and I'm sure you have lots of resources, but if you need, I mean, in all seriousness, if you need help and, you know, as far as like a producer or people to do music for or with you, let me know because I'll hook you up.
Oh, wow, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. One of these days I'll do it. I have a couple songs, you know, in the can, as we say in the biz.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple songs in the can, and I'm writing one right now. So you know who I should ask if I should sing these songs is your psychic. When's that psychic on? Is she on?
Wednesday night
tomorrow?
At 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Can I call her Wednesday night?
Yeah, and I'm telling you this, so we're totally, you know, cheating the system, but if I know you're calling in, I'll put you at the head of the call line.
Yeah. Now what can I say to the psychic? I can ask her whatever and
you can ask whatever.
And
Rebecca really is, and this is no joke. So, you know, Rebecca and I did a show together for about the first 6 months of the radio, and I feel like I'm telling just stories tonight, but I guess that's a good thing.
No,
so when I met Rebecca, I met Rebecca through my moving career, and I was sent out to her house, and the head of our operations department at the time says, go out, make nice with a wife because she's friends with my wife and I don't need the headaches. Well, who does better in going out and making nice than me? Whenever you have a VIP, I'm always the person that goes. So I went out and met with her and her husband and had a nice little visit out in Long Beach. And then she tells her husband, I'm going to walk him out to the car. I'm like, okay, great. That's unusual, but that's fine. So she walks me out to the car and, you know, we're chit chatting and I'm trying to figure out, you know, okay, I got to go home and feed the puppies. And then she leans in and goes, you know, I am a little bit psychic. And I thought, and this is before I drank all the California Kool-Aid, John. So I didn't, you know, wear magnets. I didn't have essential oils. I didn't do any of this stuff. I had short Republican hair, the whole thing. And I went, good for you. So when she called me probably about a year and a half later after I'd moved her, and she says, "Well, hey, I'm just checking in." And I'm going, "Oh my God, there's something wrong with her furniture. You know, it's the time has passed for a claim. We can't do anything about it." No, it's fine. I'm just going to be in Seal Beach. I thought I'd tell you if you wanted to come by and say hi. I said, "Fine." So I went and hung out. She said, "Well, I'm going to do a radio show." And I said, "I've always wanted to do a radio show." And she goes, "I know, and you're going to be my host." So that's how we did our first show. But before we did that, she gave me a reading. And honestly, John, there are things that she told me that were so specific. There is absolutely no way through social media or anything else that she could have done research ahead of time. And quite frankly, it would have taken, you know, way too much of her time to try to figure any of that stuff out. And she was dead on correct on so much. And I was like, wow, you know, because you can talk about generalities like, "John, I see that you like women." You know, okay.
Right.
And you're like, "Oh yes, that's totally me." She was so on. No, she was, you know, she was like specific about specific things. And you're like, this is, you know, if it weren't like creepy, because it wasn't creepy, it was just like, wow, this is just kind of bizarre. And so she gave me a reading. I said, "Okay, this is great." And the people that she has on her show, and I launched her off on her own show for a while. I co-host, or I kind of host her other show that she does on a different network once a month for her. And it is a regular occurrence for her to get callers or people writing in saying, "Remember, you know," and of course it goes in one ear and out the other when she gives you the reading, because she's not, you know, there to, you know, take mental notes. She's just there to pass the message. But she goes, "Remember when you did the reading for me, you know, a year ago, and you told me that my, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it all happened."
Wow.
It happens all the time. And it's just, if it, you would call it kind of freaky, but it's not freaky. It's just very cool. And so if you want to call in on Wednesday and talk to Rebecca, you know, you can. You can. And the nice thing is, the less information you give her, the better of the reading that you're going to get. So if you say, you know, "Hi, my name is John, and I want to know about singing. Or I want to know about my creative career, or I want to know about my love
comedy,
life, or whatever."
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, if I call in and ask her about my comedy, she'll let me have a reading on my comedy and everything?
Yeah. And speaking of your comedy, how did your show go at the Ice House in Pasadena this past Friday night?
It was a couple Fridays ago. It went well.
I had it down
well.
You were at the Comedy Store. Excuse me. You were at the Comedy Store on the 17th.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
See, I wrote it down.
The one at the Ice House a couple weeks ago was sold out. It was great. There was over 100 people in this. It was really a lot of fun. And my next show at the Ice House is May 27th.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to mark it down now, May 27th at the Ice House. But I'll probably be with you on again one more time before that show.
You're going to be on May 16th, so you'll be on a week before. But I'm writing it down now.
Yeah, so we'll be on a week before. Yeah. And, I'm sorry, Garrett, one more time about the psychic. You said she's in the top 20 or something of
psychics.
She's in
the top
50
psychics of America right now, yeah. So there's a book that comes out every year, kind of like the Who's Who, and she was asked to be in this after, you know, because you have to go through like a test or something, and again, I don't know what it is, but you have to be kind of like certified, and she was asked to be in the top 50 psychics of America this past year. So, I mean, it's really quite an honor. And because if you think about all the people out there that want to talk to you about your dead cat that's in a van down by the river, and then you get, you know, somebody who really knows their stuff. Rebecca really knows her stuff, you know, and you can be a doubter, and that's okay, because, you know, she doesn't really care whether you believe her or not. She's just there to pass along whatever information that she sees. And, you know, and she doesn't take stock of it. So she's, you know, if you go back and say, "Do you remember when you told me whatever?" No, because she talks to, you know, hundreds of people a month. So she just shares the message that she sees for you and then moves on.
How many psychics are there in the world? I guess there's a lot.
Tons. But, you know, for this show, I've got Rebecca. I've got Lisa Peeney out of St. Louis, Missouri. I've got Dr. Annie. She does tarot readings, tea leaf readings.
She's
also intuitive.
Too. And she's a doctor.
She's a doctor, yeah. She's a reverend. And I've got Zoe Nicklaus. So I've got like one a week of some kind. And each have a different personality and a different specialty. But, you know, it all started with Rebecca.
Okay.
If it wasn't for her, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Or if I'm doing
what
I'm doing today, it would look completely different. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good.
She doesn't even charge me a commission. So I'm grateful.
Very good. Very good, yeah. Garrett.
So what about you? Let's talk about you. It's enough about me.
What about me? I was just in San Diego this past weekend. Not on a comedy tour or anything like that, but me and the wife and child, we went away for a day or two, and we got away from the hubbubs of life. But we saw some of her family members, which is not an escape. That's more of a hell escape, I guess, a hellish escape. You know, because my wife, for all of you who don't know, she's Filipino, or Filipina, I should say. And in case you're wondering, I won her in an auction for a quarter. That's just a joke, everybody. She's Filipina. Come on. It's just a joke. My wife is great. Oh, yes, it was a raffle and I lost. But come on, Garrett. Come on. She's great. It wasn't in a mail order bride or anything. I met her in the mall when I was a young wee lad, and we fell in love. She said, you better fall in love with me. And I said, oh, okay. And it's been pure bliss.
I love that. You have really, it is quite a lovely love story.
Yeah. Yeah. We met in the mall at Macy's. I think I've already mentioned this with you. And
it's a great story though.
Yeah. We met at Macy's and, you know, everyone said, you can't see him. He's like the slut of Macy's. I was known as the Macy's slut, Garrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I guess is an honor in itself, right?
It is. I thought you would get an award for that, but
I should have. I should have. But you know, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. In a land far, far away.
In a land far, far away. But yeah, so we went out to San Diego for a couple of days, and also we're working on me and a comedy buddy of mine. His name is Ricky Skepta. And hopefully I can have him on your show one of these days.
Yeah.
But Rick and I are working on trying to headline in Sacramento on a weekend. A friend of mine who I worked with, he's actually hosting a morning show out there in Sacramento. And he said, if you're ever in town and whatever, I'll have you on the show. I said, that's great. And so we're trying to set something up, and hopefully it'll happen over the next month or two. Would be really, really cool. So we're working on that. I'm also trying to get in Portland for a day or two, working on that with another comedy buddy. And in case your listeners are wondering and they don't know me, I do have a bit of a stutter sometimes, and that's, you know, that's okay. We all have something in life we have to deal with head on. But, you know, and okay, here's another true story. I don't know if I've actually said this, and this has to do with my stutter, actually. I once worked at a company, a product placement company, and I'll let them remain nameless, QPP Entertainment. But anyway, I don't think they're around anymore, and if they are. So I was working there, and they had me page someone on the intercom system. Now, they knew I had a bit of a stutter or whatever. But the fear of going on an intercom, and we're talking, this is 15 years ago, I have finally accepted in my life that the stutter I have, doctors always said I would outgrow it. I finally accepted I won't. I'm not going to finally outgrow this, Garrett. It's going to be with me forever. But anyway.
Well, now it's your charm. You make money at it.
Right. So we're talking 15 years ago, and they said, we need you to page David Silverman on the intercom. And I'm like, okay, my heart's racing because, you know, I don't. Now I think if it were me now, I would just roll with it and I would have fun with it. But back then I was very timid. I was a little little timid. I mean, I was more of a writer back then, not a performer, and because I was always afraid of my speech and everything. So anyway, I get on this phone system, and it's like an intercom, but it goes all over the building. And I have problems saying the letter D sometimes, and the guy's name was David. So I pick up the intercom, or it was the telephone, and all of a sudden you just hear this all over the building. All right, Gary, here's what you hear all over the building for about 10 seconds. It sounded like a little mini machine gun went off in the building. And so I hung up after trying to say his name after 10 times, and I looked at the guy. Just so then it was like this, Gary. It was like, boom. And then you just hear like a slam of the phone. And I look at the guy. And I looked at the guy who told me to page, and I said, I'm sorry. And then I just, the following day, they fired me. I should have
really?
Looked into, yeah, yeah. They said, this isn't working out. And I should have looked into some kind of a wrongful termination.
Oh, yeah,
but
totally.
Really, I hated the job anyway, and I got unemployment and all that stuff. But it was just a hellish, horrible, terrible job, and everyone who worked there was miserable.
Well,
and,
there you go.
So if anyone at UPP is there listening still, I love you guys. I love you. It was fun. It was the best month and a half of my life.
Right, right.
Yeah. But it's weird. I actually drove by there because they're in Burbank. I drove by their offices like a month or two ago where it was. It used to be this big building right on this street. And I'm like, it's not there anymore. And then you see a little door. So they must have like really shrunk down or whatever. I'm just like,
well, they raised the rent.
They must have raised the rent, but it was a huge place because in the back they had all kinds of food and things you would see in movies and this and that. But it would have ruined me watching movies because all the people who used to watch movies for UPP Entertainment used to make notes. Okay, I see a Coke can in the back. I see a this in the back. And it basically ruined movies for them because they wouldn't watch the movie. They'd look in the background to see if they're
right.
like Shasta sitting in the back. It's like, is that how I really want to live my life? No. No. No,
oh,
I don't.
Goodness gracious. Well, see, I'm glad that worked out that way because otherwise I wouldn't know you.
Exactly. And, you know, everything works out for a reason. Everything in life. I finally realized that, I believe. Everything works out for the best. And here I am with you right now, Garrett. So life isn't
go.
So bad.
Life is great.
So bad.
And, you know, speaking of that, you know, should we talk about maybe some current events that are coming up?
Let's talk about some, yes.
You know, tomorrow is a big day in politics.
Now, Bernie Madoff. That was a slip of the tongue. Not Bernie Madoff. Bernie Sanders. Thank you very much.
There we go.
Bernie Sanders has raised $2 million more than Hillary as far as advertising and all that stuff. Now, what are the polls saying? Is she winning so far? Is she winning?
I think she's set to win. Same for Donald Trump tomorrow.
Yeah, so if she wins New York, essentially this thing is over, right?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say because there are a lot of folks, and I don't know what to believe. So what I don't believe are all the political memes out there about, you know, look at this candidate who obviously hates kittens, and then you see the other candidate, you know, holding a kitten. You know, so all of that baloney, I don't buy into because, you know, you're all a bunch of friggin' lemmings, you know, jumping off the cliff of being stupid. You know, but I think they're all bought, they're all paid for in some capacity. That really means at the end of the day, I don't know. But as I understand it, you know, the super delegates that are available to, you know, be voted for or with or on, however that works, you know, they can still do other things with the votes. So they don't have to vote for Hillary Clinton, even though they've been pledged to. Now, I will tell you that, you know, for the last 20 years, Hillary Clinton has been out there, you know, doing favors for people. So when this time came, you know, she could call in those favors. And so, you know, you have to think, well, you know, yes, they could vote for Bernie Sanders or, you know, the Elephant Man or whatever, but are they really going to do that given, you know, how it all really, really plays out? I don't think that's going to be the case. So I think that with the super delegates in place, you know, she's pretty much, you know, got it wrapped up, even though, you know, Bernie and all of his people make a very compelling argument. So we'll see.
Right. Well, it was kind of that way in 2008 too. The super delegates were with Hillary, and then she was, and then she began losing to Obama, and and they switched. The super delegates switched over to Obama.
Well, so, you know, Bernie has won, I think, 7 of the last 8 events. You know, and again, if you want to make me the political strategist here, please don't, because I'll get all of that wrong. But I think, you know, so if you're listening out there, don't call in and say, yes, it was. I don't really care. We all know that he's just got some momentum going. You know, so it's interesting to see how that all plays out. I don't know how that's going to work out, you know, down the road, but it will be interesting, you know, very shortly on, you know, if Bernie Sanders came out of nowhere and won New York tomorrow, well, I think that changes everything.
Well, it would, but you know, it's really sort of sick too, that how can they raise so much money for something so, I don't want to say lame and idiotic, but in the big scheme of things, this money could be used for something so much more productive in the world, something so much better.
Dorothy, let's click your heels 3 times, you know, and have you wake up in Oz tomorrow, because that's just not going to happen.
Donald
it'd be nice.
Trump,
I mean, but everybody agrees it's a ridiculous amount of money, and you know, it's all about. And the funny thing is, you know, for all of this money that's raised, all it does is help the, you know, the broadcasting industry with ad buys.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so it supports the entertainment industry indirectly by all of the dumb, you know, commercials that we see for everybody.
Right. Have I told you my now, the U.S. is in debt by, what is it, $20 trillion or something like that?
Something silly, yeah.
It's something really, really absurd. Now, you want to hear how we make it out of debt?
Yeah, how do we make it out of debt?
I'm going to tell you how we get out of debt. And this is genius. Make more money.
I like that.
I know it could cause all kinds of problems, but someone should be in the room where they make money. Nobody knows. Shut off the lights. You know, somebody sneaks and prints $15 trillion in cash.
And just don't tell anybody.
And then the next day, and don't tell anybody. And then you do a knock on the door and you run at the White House. You know, you do a little knock, knock, knock and run. Someone answers the door. Oh, look, $15 trillion. The world is great again, and nobody knows how, where all this money came from.
I think that is spectacular. Do you know anybody in the Federal Reserve that you can make that happen with?
No, but if anyone works there, they can call in the show right now, and we can have a talk with them.
Well, we'll just give them our respective routing numbers.
We'll give them the routing numbers. I like that.
If we, you know, like honestly, if we got $15 trillion, and I'm not going to be, you know, greedy here. You can have $14 trillion. I'll just take the $1
trillion. Yeah.
I'm sure that we would make sure that we pass it along to the federal government.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the bank would go, this is real money, but where did it come from? Just say it's been a good
and you
year.
Know what they would do? They would still say, and we're still going to have a service charge of $22 a month on your account. because it still doesn't meet our minimum deposit requirements.
When you have the number one song for 16 weeks in a row, everyone could kiss your ass. That's what I'm saying, Garrett. And you tell them at the bank, you take that $22 because I'm number one, baby.
I like that idea, but I will tell you, being number one for 16 weeks in a row with Gay Wedding on, you know, on a couple of radio networks is great. That and about $2.69 will get you a large coffee at Panera Bread.
Not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I'm thinking now of changing my name, and you've inspired it. Stuttering Jesus. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's, you know, if we're all children of God in some capacity, then, you know, and if Jesus was a son of God, then, you know, aren't we all just, this is my whole rationale behind this. Aren't we all, you know, what kind of Jesus are you? You know, so I'm blonde Jesus because I dye my hair blonde. You can be stuttering Jesus because you stutter. Or you can be the hot tamale Jesus because, you know, you're the hottest tamale on the show tonight.
I'm a hot tamale.
I love it.
And if you're a little person, midget Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
You know, my daughter, so cute. We were at the market a couple weeks ago, and there were a couple little people there right in front of us in line at the market. And she kept looking at them, but she didn't say anything. And then we walked away, and as we were walking away, she looked back and said, "Daddy, why are they so little?" And I didn't really know what to say. I just said, you know, Mia, some people are tall, some people are medium height, and some people are little. But they're all people.
That's a great answer.
Like no matter. Oh, I appreciate that, Garrett. And I said, you know, but the most important thing is we're all people, and we all have to like each other. She goes, yeah, but why are they little? So, I can't win. But I tried explaining. But it was so cute. She's like, yeah, but why are they little? Well, you want me to get into the genetics of it here, Mia? No, you're 4 years old. They're little, okay? But it was really sweet. And really, I mean, if she raised that issue right in front of them, I don't think they would have had an issue with it at all. They would have just maybe said something that they say to a bunch of other little kids that may say something. But it's so pure how kids are, you know. They're just say what's on their mind, and they don't mean any harm with it. They just want to know why they're like that, you know. And I just think that's so pure and just wonderful. You know,
what did you do as a child that was embarrassing to your parents?
Well, when I was like 12 years old, I ordered a couple $100 worth of pizzas with a kid's house I didn't like at the time. And they found out it was me. Yeah.
That's good.
Luckily they didn't send all the pizzas. Now, my idea was they won't send the pizzas unless they call back and verify it's you. Me being the idiot, I got an idea. I'll give them my number and I'll tell them, okay. So they call me back and they said, yeah, did you order all this food? And I went, yep. And I went, yeah, now they're going to get all the food. And then the following morning, the phone rings and my mom answers and I got grounded for 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
But look at me. I'm like, oh, yeah, here's my number. Duh. What the frick was I thinking? What was I thinking? I am such a jerk. But I didn't really like that kid. Yeah.
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 That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I'm losing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when we were in San Diego, too, I'm losing my patience with people. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting a little bit older or whatever. Now, we walked onto this little boat. We walked onto a boat, right? And you're not supposed to walk on until everybody's off. But there was a one man who was on the boat still, and they said, okay, if I swear on this here, Garrett?
You can swear as much as your heart desires. I don't, because I can't
all
stop.
Right, right. Well, you know, I don't swear that much, really, in
right.
everyday life. I may, you know, I may hold the thing once in a while. If I don't like it, I'll go, hey, you, you know, and hold my junk. But anyway, we were walking on the boat. And this
on radio,
man,
that works really well.
I know. It's like all you hear is a little bit of muffled action, and people will go, oh, John must be holding his dick again. So... So we walk onto this little boat, and this man was walking off the boat, probably older, maybe mid-60s, maybe younger. I don't know. I can't tell how old anybody is anymore. So we're walking off, and he goes, oh, I guess you don't read signs anymore. And I turn around, and I said, shut the fuck up and read this. And I flipped him off, and my wife was like, whoa. And the guy was, like, really frightened. You know, and I told my wife, I'm like, I am losing it. I am losing my mind with people lately. But don't be an idiot to me anymore. I'm not a kid anymore, and I'm not going to take it. You say something.
There you go.
I'm going to say something back. Don't be a dick for no reason. I'm going to say something back.
I'm proud of
you. And,
you
know, now that I – well, thank you. And now that I have a kid, it's like if she's in harm's way or anything like that, I would sacrifice my life, you know, of course, if something were – like we were in Target. This was like a year ago. We were walking across the parking lot in Target, and some guy just goes whizzing by. And I had a cup of water or something like that, and I threw the cup at the car. So he slams on the brakes, and he puts it in reverse, and my wife and I – or my wife and the baby are already on the other side or walking into Target. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is a parking lot. You slow down, man. There are kids around here. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. So it
See,
works
there you go. You could have
yeah.
had a bullet to the brain, but you got humility
I
on his
got
side.
A bullet. I could have got a bullet to the brain, but, you know, I threw a cup of water at his car. Yeah.
It was probably a dirty car, too.
Probably got a little bit of a wash, but it was a heavy cup, so I, like, threw it, and it just made it. Yeah, yeah. But it's funny, as he was whizzing by, I was already cocked and ready to throw this drink, Garrett. So he was going by, like, fast, and I just went, and it just smashed it, like, in the back. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. You are
yeah.
such a rebel.
I know. So if something happens with me, remember this part of the interview, and they can play this on TMZ or something. A comedian had a bad side to him, and then they'll hear this part. He throws water at cars and tells people on boats to puck off, you know, so they can hear this and all that stuff. But I take kickboxing now. I take a kickboxing class, so I know how to defend myself. I am a badass.
Do you make any noises,
comedian.
You know, you're like, ow, or any of that kind of stuff?
I do a little Michael Jackson in it. No, I just, yeah, I do. When I smack him in the face, I go, I do a little bit
I
of that.
That's your calling card.
I think it is. Beating the crap out of people with Michael Jackson voice. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's very fierce.
Speaking of musicians that were popular in the 1980s, Prince, I don't know, did you see that Prince had to make an emergency landing?
Yeah. What's happening with
he
that?
He had – they said he was in like emergency landing and was rushed to the hospital, and I'm thinking, oh, God, he freaking OD'd on the plane and he will die. No, he just had a bad case of the flu. Now, is this what happens with our old rock stars? It's like they used to party and they used to be on the edge of – death by snorting blow off a whore's ass. No, now they're being rushed to the hospital for the flu. I mean, is this what's happening to our major rock stars?
It is a sad state of affairs when we need to take our Geritol before going on stage.
Yeah. Oh, my God, he's in the hospital. He OD'd on Viagra and Geritol, and, you know, and he's got to have the IV drip, you know, but... It will be a sad day. Now, Michael's already gone, as we know, Michael Jackson.
When it's been like 4 years.
He died in 2009 or 2010.
Oh, it was nine. You're right. So there we go. 7 years. Oh, my gosh.
7 years. It'll be 7 years in June. And you know how I remember that, Garrett. He died.
Farrah Fawcett died.
On June 25th, which is, bring it around the circle, George Michael's birthday. June 25th.
I didn't know that was George Michael's birthday. So now, okay. Well, it's also the day Farrah Fawcett
died. I believe he died. Yeah, and poor Farrah, she didn't get any pub that day, poor thing. And she was the hottest thing in the 70s.
Ever.
She was
it was totally all Farrah, and then all of a sudden, breaking news. It's like, you're breaking the breaking news.
Right. It's like, sorry, Farrah. It's like the Sizzling commercial, you remember those? Move over, Bacon, now there's
right.
a meteor. Yeah. Well, something meteor came along, and his name was Michael Jackson. And he pushed Farrah to the side, like a cheap whore.
Yeah.
But I believe it was on June 25th. I might look this up right now while we're talking. But I believe it was June 25th because George Michael's birthday is June 25th. What do you think of that?
It is. Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. Michael Jackson, King of Pop. He was known as the King of Pop. Michael Jackson.
He was the King of Pop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Died on June 25,
2009. Wow.
And just to make sure, but I'm pretty sure, George Michael, I'm looking up right now. And Jorge Miguel, as I like to call him. Jorge Miguel was born on, bring it to me. Born June 25th, 1963.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were having brunch with George recently, what was new in his world? Is he coming out with anything exciting?
I don't know. I'm just afraid. You know, there will be a day soon. Hopefully I won't be around to see it, but there'll be a day. Prince will be gone, and George Michael will be gone. Arguably, three of the biggest pop sensations of the 1980s
ever.
And in the world of music.
Mm-hmm.
And the world of music.
So what are you telling me here? That I need to step up my game or what?
I don't want them to die is what I'm saying.
We're all going to die at some point, just whether it's going to be sooner or it's going to be later.
Yeah.
Because like Doris later. Roberts dying at 90,
everybody
goes, too soon. And you're like, she's 90.
And then TMZ had something today. Here's when we last saw her. It was in March, right? They found
right.
her, one of those video guys. You know, they see her walking up to a movie and she just looked like, you know, and
she looked like she was 90 guy. And she was tired.
Right, and the video guy was walking up to her. Hello, Miss Roberts, how are you? She's like, how are you? You know, but
yeah.
she had a little
yeah.
quick wit. She said something very witty to him. And then, but I mean, she was 90.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. But she was great.
And so I'm not going to post this, you know, picture of me with Doris Roberts, you know, 2 years ago, but I did get a chance to meet her at an event, and she was quite lovely. And even though it was like somebody drug her out to this event, and it's like, you know, okay, Doris, you don't have to go to the opening of every envelope that's out there, because that's what it seemed like, because it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I think she would have preferred to have stayed home. She was extremely friendly, warm, as fantastic as it could be, but she was tired. You know, it was like, okay, let the woman go home and have a nap.
Well, when you get that old, you know, it's got to be hard to keep up your energy. Like, what's his name? The Guns N' Roses singer.
Yeah.
Axl Rose. He broke his leg on the first concert date. On the first concert date of the reunion of Guns N' Roses, and he breaks his foot, actually, his foot or something. And he was, like, singing the songs in a big chair like he's the prince or the king. He's like sitting in a throne singing, "Take me down to the paradise." And that's not rock and roll. It's like, see what's happening to these old rock stars? You're being rushed to the hospital for the flu. You could do a concert and you hurt your foot and now you can't walk, so you got to sing a full concert in a big lounge chair. That's not how I want to remember these rock stars. I don't want to remember Axl Rose.
They just don't want to get their payday. You know, remember when Lady Gaga had to have like hip replacement surgery and she finished out her concert tour in a gold wheelchair?
It's like, why? It's horrible. It's like,
it's horrible, but they want their check.
Well, Madonna one day will be touring. She'll be wearing a Depend undergarment and she'll take a piss in it and throw it into the crowd and she'll think it's the sexiest thing ever.
And so will everybody in America, and except for the gays, because the gays have this love-hate relationship with her. It's like, we love Madonna. We hate everything she's doing. We love Madonna. So, you know.
Well, Madonna, once again, was wonderful in her day. Once again, a 1980s pop star. I mean,
right.
She really set new rules. And there's a video clip of her on American Bandstand, and I'm sure you've seen it, Garrett, where Dick Clark says to her, "What do you want to do?" And she goes, "I want to rule the world."
I remember, I watched that.
Yeah. And sure enough, I think she ruled the world for many, many years, especially in the 1980s. She was the set. I mean, she was the bar that set the bar, you know, with how far may I push this? How far can I push it? She set the bar, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Lady Gaga's response, here, I'll wear a meat dress. No, that's just stupid. A meat dress. I mean,
it's not even good meat. It was like bologna. It was a bologna sandwich dress.
It was bologna. I mean, at least have the lean meat. Come on now. Let's get the lean meat. Why put the sloppy bologna on there? If I want to see her sloppy bologna, I'll look at her. Never mind, Garrett.
Speaking of that, since we've got like 3 minutes left, let's talk about where people can find you on social media and all of the fun stuff where you like to have your fans find you.
Yes, my fans could find me, John Cooperman, that's Superman with a K, JohnKuperman, Superman with a K, at Twitter, at Facebook. That was easy for me to say. My speech has been rocky lately here, but that's a whole other story. Okay, at Facebook, and I just recently saw that I have a MySpace page still that I haven't looked at in probably.
You and Justin Timberlake are the last remaining, too.
I still have a MySpace page. I haven't logged into MySpace in over 5 years.
Wow.
But it's got some cool pictures on there that I totally forgot about. I'm like, oh, that's a good picture. Wow. Wow, I like it. So,
well, if you can resurrect that, I think we should bring back the MySpace just for you. And
you know,
at that point, it will be your space.
And, you know, MySpace is not even hip anymore. I should do it as a joke. That would be fun.
If
you need to know anything, reach me on my MySpace page. That would be fun. Because it is out there still, Garrett, but nobody's really using it.
You could make it relevant again.
Maybe it'll make a big comeback. You know what they're saying real quickly? That by the year 2095, there will be 6 billion dead people on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
By the year 2095, 6 billion unused accounts.
Well, thank goodness storage is really cheap these days. And with that, everybody, Mr. John Cooperman will be back on May 16th.
Thank you,
I believe that is the day. And we're going to welcome him back before his big show at the Ice House in Pasadena the following Friday on the 20th. What did we say? The 27th, I think
May
it is.
May 27th. Yeah. And I'm going to be on Drone Box on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, I believe, West Coast time, Pacific Coast time. I'm going to pretend I'm a comedian in 1929.
You can do it. I have the faith. Where is that again? Real quick, we got 10 seconds.
Dromebox.
Dromebox.
It's on my Twitter. If you want to do, yep, it's on my Twitter.
There we go. With that, everybody, got to go. We'll see you live tomorrow night at 5 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.